This is Howard Boxer reporting for Now News and Events. In this interview, Craig Morrison discusses the Beatles' ties to Montreal, as well as the public's ongoing fascination with the Liverpool group. He also talks about his own background, music, and band, Vintage Wine.
By profession, I wear several hats. I'm an ethnomusicologist, I'm a musician, I'm a writer, and I'm a professor. I teach at Concordia. I've been teaching here 15 years, and I teach in the music department and also in the Faculty of Fine Arts. And the courses that I teach are all about music and culture. Some of them are specifically music. I've got a history of soul music that I'm starting next week. I've got a new course called Psychedelic Music starting next week. In January, I have another new course called Musical History Tour, not Magical Mystery Tour, and it's 7 cities, Nashville, Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, New York, Montreal, Memphis, and I'm going to look at the music that came out of each city, what they're known for. So it's all about music. I've taught other courses here in the past, Beatles, Rock and Roll and Its Roots, the Visual and Performing Arts in Canada. So it's all music and culture, and that's what I love. I'm a culture vulture. For the lecture, or talk, or whatever you want to call it, for the Beatles and the Montreal connection, this will be, it's not very long, it's about an hour, but I'll be talking about the Beatles performance that they gave here at the Montreal Forum in 1964. On that tour, they played only 12 songs, wherever they played, and people screamed their way through it and loved every moment of it. I wasn't there. At that moment, I was in Victoria, which is the town I grew up in. Beatles did play in Vancouver, but at the age of 12, I was too young to say, "Hey, Mom and Dad, can I get on the ferry and go to Vancouver and see the Beatles? And I won't be coming home tonight because the ferry doesn't run late." And they were like, "No, son, you can't." So I missed them. But I was a Beatles fan right from the first moment, even before we saw them on Ed Sullivan in February 1964. And I've played lots and lots of Beatles music. I've taught courses on the Beatles here and elsewhere. And I love their music. It's fascinating to see how they evolved musically and how the cultural link. Yeah, moments they seem to be driving the culture, at other moments they seem to be reflecting the culture. It was so close you couldn't quite tell which was which. They were putting out more than one album a year, I think 2 and 3 albums a year, and every new album came out, of course everybody bought it, but everybody, fan and music industry alike, went, "Oh, so that's where we're at now." There's never been, I think, in the history of entertainment, an act or an artist or a group that dominated the industry and the fans' imagination in that way for so long. Of course, right after that, we entered the postmodern age, and you know, FM radio fragmented the audiences, and everything kind of niched marketed. But for that moment, it was almost like there was a kind of a unity, at least in people's tastes. So I think, I don't know if it was George Harrison or some other writer that said that the Beatles were the greatest romance of the 20th century. And I do think that's an accurate statement. People still are crazy about the Beatles. When my Beatles course was announced at Concordia a few years ago, it filled up with 90 students almost overnight. And the people in the Faculty of Fine Arts said they never saw that kind of response. And you know, the students at Concordia, I had one last year. He said, "I can't do that concert review you asked me because it's in a bar and I'm only 17. You know? But a lot of them, they're late teens, early 20s. The interest is still there for them, and of course the interest is still there for every generation. Yesterday when I was doing my volunteer work at the Montreal General Hospital, I go and I play for an hour in the palliative care. A music therapist brought in one of her friends who played guitar. He was about 22 years old, there's a room, you know, six or eight people there looking for a moment of Oasis feeling. And I said, well, just play me a song. The first song he played was a Beatles song. I said, play me another one. He played me another Beatles song. And then he started fooling around. I said, what's that? He said, that's Honey Pie by the Beatles. Like, how come you know all these songs? You know, in 1969, John Lennon and Yoko Ono were here for their bed-in. And they were at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel. And even to this day, they have the John and Yoko suite. You can, you know, rent and sleep in the same kind of bed. So the Montreal connection is strong. Of course, it's been celebrated a lot. The Montreal Museum of Fine Arts had a John Lennon and Yoko Ono exhibition a couple of years ago. And I was pleased I got to speak. I gave a lecture at the museum about that. Yoko Ono came for the opening, and for all the years that people have said, you know, she's the one that broke up the Beatles and all, you know, she received a lot of negativity, I think undeservedly so. But she showed up for the opening, and people were like, well, Yoko Ono's here. So there's no end. And of course, you know, there's several Beatles tribute bands. There's out-of-town bands. There's a band that just played something like 5 days in a row at Place des Arts. And we have our local one, Replay. That's but they're not the only one. There's several of them. And they're really interested in recreating, you know, right down to the wigs and the costumes and, you know, play your guitar. If you're playing the bass, you should be left-handed for the Paul thing, you know. I mean, they go to great lengths to recreate that. People are still want to see that. Before the internet was made everything available in New York City, there was, I'm sure it's still there, a Museum of Television and Radio. And I heard that the one thing that people wanted to see most when they walked in and said, you can look at anything on our archive, the thing that people most wanted to see was the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. It's one of those cultural touchstones that will be with us forever. So the first of all, the Beatles is an attraction to, it seems, almost everybody. And the Beatles in Montreal, well, they didn't live here, they didn't grow up here, but at least they were here. And Paul McCartney's played here several times. I got to see him when he came, what was it, last year. Ringo Starr and his all-star band came here. I got to see them here. Pete Best, the drummer, original drummer for the Beatles, who later on some unscrupulous record company put out a record called Best of the Beatles. It's pretty funny. But Pete Best came here. I saw him play at the Hard Rock Cafe. So, you know, there seems to be no end of fascination. And so that's what a lot of people will be coming to see. In the talk, I'll have little bits of film clips. I don't think I can find anything actually from the Montreal performance, but I will have little bits of film. Of course, I'll have some live music. Just in myself playing a couple little things. I'm going to play a couple of little bits and say, what song does this come from? And play some recordings and show some images. So it'll be a multimedia Beatle extravaganza hour. I bought my first guitar in 1966, and I bought it because I loved the music of the Beatles and what was happening at the time. You know, the folk rock, the Birds, the Mamas and Papas, the garage bands, the Louie Louie, that was the anthem of where I grew up. But I've been playing guitar then since, well, that's a long time ago, 1966, and I've played lots of different kinds of music. I was trained in classical, on piano, and in jazz at the Berklee College of Music in Boston, and I just carried on with my studies, both actually playing and researching. And I've played big band jazz and Celtic music and folk music and country music. I've put out 9 CDs. 2 of them are the music I play only on Mondays, which is country music at the Wheel Club, the Hillbilly Night, which has been going 45 years in Montreal. But most of the time I play rock and roll and all of its related styles. The band that's playing on the 29th is Vintage Wine, and it's a band that's been going 9 years. The drummer and I have been together for all that time. And the other two guys in the band, they've been with us for 6 years. We haven't had a personnel change in 6 years. It's one of the most, I would say, excellent experiences I've had in playing with musicians. They're wonderful musicians. We're all four lead singers out of four. We take turns singing lead, and when we're not singing lead, if we can jump in on a background harmony, we will. We have a drummer that is completely untrained and has one of the most uncanny musical talents I've ever seen. He sings like Roy Orbison. We have Ryan Fleury. The drummer's name is Gary Sharkey, and he's in his 60s. Our bass player is in his mid-30s. We got him from the Concordia Music Department, Ryan Fleury, a wonderful musician. Our keyboard player is Alex Nesralla, who also plays acoustic guitar. Myself, Craig Morrison, I play the electric guitar and occasionally double on the keyboards. So sometimes we have two guitars, sometimes we have guitar and keyboards. We've never done it with two keyboards except in big shows, which we occasionally will have us both playing keyboard. But we play a range of music from mostly 50s, 60s, and some 70s, although we do know we did a whole set of 1920s songs 2 weeks ago at the North Hadley Club because they had a 1920s theme. So we can play all kinds of music. I've played horrors at Jewish weddings and a range. But our specialty and what we're going to be playing there is 50s and 60s rock and roll with a little bit of 70s thrown in. And we do all of the classics. We do the Elvis and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the British Invasion, Jerry and the Pacemakers and the Rockabillys, Jerry Lee Lewis. And, you know, we have done tributes to Buddy Holly and Bob Dylan and soul music. And so it's all part of it.
Do you have the date yet for your Oscar Peterson concert in February?
Yes, I do. It's going to be the 16th annual. We've been selling out every year the last few years, so now we've gone to two nights. And it's going to be 8th Friday and 9th Saturday in February 2013, Oscar Peterson Concert Hall. We're calling the concert, so people have to scratch their heads for a minute. We're calling the concert Jailhouse Submarine. The subtitle is Music from the Movies. If people get the reference, Jailhouse is Jailhouse Rock, which gives you Elvis, and Submarine is Yellow Submarine, Beatles. But we're going to cover some of the early, very early songs. And we might even have from 1939, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But most of it is the series is called The Roots of Rock and Roll, so that's what we concentrate on. It's going to be mostly the famous movies, Elvis movies, some of the kind of rock and roll classics like Rock Around the Clock, you know, that they were all in movies, and Easy Rider, Grease. We did a tribute to the movie Grease, I have to say. The movie Grease, not the country. But we'll do some from that movie as well, so that's what we're doing next February. I am a Concordia graduate. I took the PhD in humanities, finished in 2000. My thesis was psychedelic music in San Francisco. My fascination is musical styles, how they're born, how they evolve, what happens to them. And I originally started researching the entire West Coast. Basically, I was listening and studying the music that I grew up with. And I did about 40 interviews. I interviewed people in San Francisco and Los Angeles and Seattle and Victoria and elsewhere where I could find them. But when I got time to writing the thesis, although I'd researched folk rock and garage music and surf music and you know, everything else that was happening, I decided I would focus on one style. So I took psychedelic music in one city in San Francisco. And my goal at that time was to interview at least one member of every major psychedelic band. And I just about succeeded. You know, I interviewed somebody from Jefferson Airplane, three guys from Jefferson Airplane, Big Brother and the Holding Company, Country Joe and the Fish, Quicksilver Messenger Service, The Grateful Dead, also from other cities, somebody from The Doors, and just a lot of them. So I learned a lot. And before that, I had written a book on rockabilly, which had been the topic of my master's thesis, and that, again, was looking at one style. So that's my fascination. But I thought the humanities program at Concordia was excellent. I tell my young students, the higher you go in education, the more you get to do exactly what you want to do. And I always had ideas of what I wanted to do, and in the early years I was always frustrated. I had to study classical music because no one was offering rock, you know, that kind of thing. But by the time I got up to the PhD level, I knew I wanted to study style evolution, and I got to do it.